Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Game Closet Chats. This is Adam.
And Bianca.
And today we are chatting about intellectual property in games?
Yeah.
Or not?
Or not. Laszlo agrees.
He had something to say.
Video games that have become board games, movies that have become board games, just kind of in general.
Other ideas that have become board games.
Yeah.
So what makes, when does it go from the level of your idea to IP?
What do you mean by your idea?
Well,
or
an idea or whatever. I don't know.
When it hits enough, fame?
When is that a thing? Or I just don't know. I'm like, the difference between generic Viking god and Thor. Thor is an IP, we would call it, an intellectual property.
Mm-hmm.
But generic Viking god is not.
It just reminds me of those movies where, you know, they expect it to do good, so they're going to make, the toys and the video game and the books and, you know.
So it's, based on.
Yeah, based on. That's kind of just what it makes me feel like.
And that could be it. I really don't know what it means, so.
I don't know. I think, yeah, if someone believes in it enough to pour money into these peripheral things being made, then I guess maybe there's the hope that enough people will like it that they will buy it.
So is it when something is outside of its medium of creation, then we start talking about it as being an intellectual property or based on?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously it's owned by whoever creates it or whoever, you know, has bought the rights.
But we say, I guess this really long intro is, I'm just trying to say what we mean when we say intellectual property.
Yeah.
And it's like Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Or Star Trek or
mm-hmm.
whatever. So that's what we mean. It's I guess it'll just be board game popular based enough on something that wasn't a board game.
Yes.
Or wasn't an original idea. The board game is not the progenitor.
There you go. In a nutshell. Yes.
Okay. Ooh, gosh, that was the longest 35 minutes of my life.
You got there. So we own a number of games that are based off.
I'd say we own a number, have played a number.
Mm-hmm.
It's like anything. Well, like you were just saying, it's like this merchandising idea. So it's obviously it's made its way into what was traditionally a toy background, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I guess let's start with some of the ones that we have. So, Star Wars. What are Star Wars games we have played?
We have Imperial Assault.
Let me ask you first. Is there any Star Wars game that we have or have played that you enjoy?
Yeah, I enjoyed Imperial Assault.
Oh, I guess I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was a lot of fun. We played it for a really long time. Or at least through the whole...
Did we?
Yeah, we played the whole campaign.
I mean, I played through the campaign twice.
I'm pretty sure we played through almost the whole campaign together.
I don't know.
It was just hard because it's just the two of us, so...
Yeah.
Managing a lot of characters. I liked it because, you know, it's...
Okay, I didn't know. I just was curious. I didn't know you felt the way about Imperial Assault.
Yeah, I like Imperial Assault.
So with Star Wars, we have Rebellion, Imperial Assault, Armada. One or two of the expansions for that.
Mm-hmm.
Armada.
Which you have played far more than I have.
Yes.
But I enjoyed Armada. I thought it was very interesting. The kind of building on the base of... X-Wing, yes. Which I did not play any X-Wing.
Right.
But Armada was interesting.
Yeah, I've always wanted to pick that back up. And again, I guess I just always thought you didn't really care for it. So maybe it's something we need to get out and play.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of ships to begin with, I think.
Well, no, but I stopped buying them because I didn't know that we never played it. Or you and I together. So,
mm-hmm.
We've got that like little silver light two-player game that honestly I don't even remember how to play.
Yeah, we would have to look at it again.
But definitely Star Wars is a huge one.
Yes.
A lot we don't have. A lot we have Star Wars Monopoly.
We have Star Wars Monopoly. That's from my childhood.
So which of those then is, would you say is your favorite one? I'm just trying to think if there were any other Star Wars that we had.
I don't
played but don't own.
We, oh, played but we do not own?
I don't think so.
I mean, it would be Imperial Assault of all of them.
Well, yeah, there's all those. Oh, you mean your favorite?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Rebellion is obviously just
a I know.
But I've been through Rebellion, or I'm sorry, Imperial Assault a few times. It was fun. I think it gets pretty obvious for players who, especially if you've played through it once, of just like rush the objective is really, really the thing.
I bought you a number of expansions. And
I played with all of them.
Yeah, right? It was fun. Like, you know, let's go on this mission and get, you know, Luke Skywalker, you know, like that's really cool, like kind of having some options in there. So I did enjoy playing it, and I liked the characters a lot. So
I found it to be one of the more rewarding, let's go back to town games and get your power ups and stuff. So
yeah,
yes, Imperial Assault liked it a lot. I've been through the campaign 2 times, and then however many we played. So. Yeah. It is a lot though if you are one person managing 4 characters. And I really think that it's only viable. Like, they have, like, the veterans card or something. You know, like, you go twice. And I don't know. I just don't think it's the same kind of game.
Yeah, I agree. Like, we played it, but, like, we, you know, we played it with multiple people before. And, like, that was a lot of fun. Like, being strategic with other people and, you know, kind of seeing their play styles. So it was a lot of fun. I liked it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the best dungeon crawlers we actually have. And I would call it a dungeon crawler for sure.
Yeah.
It's one of the ones, one of the few that's painted mostly is all the way painted anyway. I think everything has at least some color on it. So.
Yes.
I have my Braveheart Luke, the two-toned face paint.
You know.
So, okay, so that's Star Wars. What's some other ones that come to mind for you?
I mean, we have a number of Marvel things.
We do. Not as many as one might imagine.
Yes.
But, yeah. So we've got, well, Marvel United.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel Legendary.
Mm-hmm.
We've recently played the Living Card Game. Is that it for Marvel?
Sentinels?
Yeah. That's what I mean. Sentinels of the Multiverse has, you know.
I would kind of
really
count that.
Strong guy, not Hulk. Or,
I know,
you know.
But
I don't think we can. I think it's a knockoff. Knockoffs are not IP.
It just feels like it to me whenever we play it, so.
Yeah, I'm vetoing that as a knockoff. Just all like right. Terror Below will not be Tremors. And Nemesis can't be Alien. They're not.
Oh, it's funny. Terror Below is Tremors to me.
But it's the whole point of the IP is it's using that name.
Yes, okay.
Okay, so.
We will agree on this.
So, rewind. So those three then?
I guess it's just those three.
For as much as we enjoy
Marvel.
Well, I think
it's because I think Ray and Teresa just own more Marvel ones, and then I think we have played.
I guess maybe it tends towards more the tactical game, and we don't.
That's true.
Like, we didn't play any of the Hero Clicks.
I was going to say they have Hero Clicks. The
Dice Masters.
Dice Masters? Mm-hmm.
And then, well, the Crisis Protocol, the newest one, Larry was just saying he would bring over.
Yes.
So, I mean, I guess for me, it's. It's Legendary.
Okay. That's funny. I was going to say, I actually really like Marvel United.
I like it too, but I feel like we've played all three of them now, and I don't need to go back and do them again necessarily.
Uh-huh.
Until we get the rest of, like, the 30 other heroes and all the other villains.
Yeah, that's the big draw. Especially, I mean, with Legendary, we already have all of those characters and stuff, so you have that deep pool to choose from.
That's true.
And so, and I just feel like with Marvel United, it's going to be just as fun, especially with, like, the new villains and then just, like, all the other characters that you get to pick from. I think I just like the interesting setup of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because if I'm going to play a Legendary game, I'm going to play Alien.
Yeah.
So that one doesn't pop out to me. Marvel United would be my choice.
See, I would pick Legendary, Marvel Legendary over Legendary Encounters, just because we played so much of the Alien one. Like, honestly, as if we're talking IPs, I prefer it's Alien in this format, I think, or in, like, the gaming world.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this would be a rare exception.
Okay.
Legendary Encounters, then?
Legendary Encounters.
The only...
Which, yeah.
Well, we've got Predator.
We have Predator, Alien, and Marvel.
Which Predator and Alien kind of can get mashed together.
I know there's many other ones, right? Of the Legendary Encounters?
Oh, yes, but... Yes, yes.
But we have not played anyone other than that.
Correct.
And I don't think any of our other friends even own.
I don't think so. Rage Reason, my own one, maybe, but...
They're friends.
Yeah. So what of those two, how do you think it like translates? How do you think it plays as a game to have that IP as a game?
From the source material into a board game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not as familiar with Predator. I'm more familiar with Alien. And I think it makes sense to me.
I think so.
All of it, the cards, the different spaces on the mat. And then also just in the gameplay as well, because, you know, you're a team and you're, you know, fighting the aliens. And
yeah.
It's a little bummer because you can't be Ripley or, you know, you can't be any of the other characters. You're just generic. That would be something I would.
In which one?
Because you, like, have your power, but you're, like, the soldier or you're the scientist.
Your role.
Your role. That's what I'm trying to say.
But, I mean, you do get Ripley. I mean, she's in every game.
It's true, but you don't get to, like, play those characters.
I see what you
mean. So thematically, you're not, like, playing those characters in the movie. You're playing the cards with the characters. I don't know. You know what I
mean. I do. I get it now. I wasn't following before, but I am now.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think the action, it's, like, a well-defined set of heroes versus a well-defined alien.
Yes.
And there's action-y stuff that happens in between. Suits itself really well to the legendary
system. I think it's great. So, of all those ones, I would pick Alien.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel about, is it the same for, like, Marvel? Because it's the comics.
Yeah, it's exactly the same.
Right?
Like, it's a well-defined set of heroes, a well-defined a villain, and action-y stuff in the middle.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Predator, exactly the same.
Yes.
So... Okay, moving on to maybe some of the video game stuff that crosses over for us.
Yeah, so we have some one-offs. We have Fallout. Mm-hmm. Fallout the board game, which you have played more than I have. We played once or twice together.
I honestly didn't even remember we played, so really? I'm going to say once.
Oh. Yeah, we played together. But you are far more familiar with Fallout games than I am. So I guess it's going to be your opinion on how that translates.
I actually think it translates really well, much better than I anticipated it to. Yeah.
Because the thing about Fallout is it's sort of an open world map. Right. And you can just kind of go in all these different directions. You don't have to follow the main storyline. A lot of it is post-apocalyptic, if not always, right?
For the most part.
For the most part. So you're just like this character wandering out in the wastelands. And everything's trying to kill you.
Yeah, and the game really captures that. It's a changing map, so you don't know what's where, but all the objectives are there. You can go wherever you want. There's nothing telling you where you have to go. You don't have to follow the main quest line. There's side quests to do. And the whole, like, event or interaction thing is there's different sets of decks, and it's, did I go into... You know, a wasteland building. Did I go into a camp or did I go into like a city?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's things that happen there and then you make decisions. And the way it tracks what you've done is a little bit interesting. It's that little chits you turn one way or the other. And it's like, if you are a ghoul, then this thing automatically happens or you automatically do that. So I think Fallout really, really does capture it for me.
We played it long ago. But I do remember the interesting part of that is, like, you have the choices, which you do also in the game of, you know, you can be, like, passive or confrontational or
definitely.
Which I liked, and it lends more to that kind of engaging factor, and not just a, all right, roam around the map and get resources or something, you know. I think that's interesting.
I would say on the other hand is Doom, which we have.
Doom, yes.
And I think we've only really sat down and actually really played it once.
We played, yeah.
Or a couple times.
A couple times. I think we played the first one or two scenarios. Mm-hmm.
We saw it at a convention.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my god, we love Doom. It's a minis game. We love minis games. Let's check it out. And we couldn't, or we didn't, or we only saw a little bit or something.
It was, I think whoever was there...
I don't really remember. They yeah. Like, it was empty. There was no one there the first yes. time we saw it. And then I think we went back and there were a bunch of people maybe.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, but our good friend Darby got it
mm-hmm.
for us for a gift. And I think it's a fine game, but I don't think it holds up to the Doom.
It's, yeah, because it plays like a slow tactical game.
Yeah.
And it's not.
It's not a berserker, all-out, frenetic. Like, there should be, like, a 5-second timer, and it's like,
it should be like
go,
Project
go,
Elite.
Go. And even more so, even yeah. scarier, or even more pushed forward than Project Elite.
Yes.
The frenetic pace of Doom is lost when you are like, okay, if I go here...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It becomes that, you know, analysis, and then, you know, you're looking at your cards, and it's like, what am I going to do next? If they do this, then I do that. So it definitely loses out on just sort of the essence of Doom.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a tactical game that is skinned as Doom.
Right.
Not to say that, like, you know, the art is great, the minis are cool, you know, all that kind of stuff is Doom, very right. much Doom. But you lose out on the, yeah, just that essence of kill, kill, kill. Rip and tear.
So, let me throw this one out to you. I can't even remember the names specifically, but 8-bit... Boss Monster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a knockoff. It's falling in the knockoff category. But what do you think? I'm curious about this one. This is one we played a number of times. Don't own anymore.
I honestly don't remember anything.
You don't really?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. Well,
I think for a side-scrolling NES
style game. You say many times, but I think we only played it like twice.
No.
We only played it like twice.
I can think of at least 3 times that with the two of us.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Cutthroat Caverns?
Yeah.
Okay. Cutthroat
Caverns and, yeah, Boss Monster, not close.
No, I know.
But yeah.
I just don't.
So you're setting the cards side by side,
I mean,
creating your
dungeon. I remember that. But
so it's just a side scroller. That's all I don't know. I'm just saying for a representation of
mm-hmm.
like 80s video games.
I can't remember.
I think that it's very boring and pretty predictable.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Most like every NES game probably if I were to play it now.
Yeah, so. I would say probably.
But I think holds true.
To what they are.
To its roots. Yes.
Yes, to its roots.
Okay. What else we got over there?
So this comes from your childhood.
Mine?
Yes. Choose Your Own Adventure.
Ooh.
Based off of the books, I did not have those. I had the, like,
R.L.
Stein.
Oh, my God. Goosebumps is not Choose Your Own Adventure. I'm sorry.
They had Choose Your Own Adventure.
The lame kids were looking at the Goosebumps. You're a lame kid. I know.
Yeah.
Choose Your Own
Adventure.
But you
love me and you married me, so.
Well, I did one of
those. You know, takes one to know one.
No, I love you very much.
yeah, so these are, like, the original Choose Your Own Adventures.
Yes.
Which I have never read. Or
correct.
Scene or anything. So this was much more.
This is like they took the book and cut it up into 5 pieces and had you read them. Absolutely, 100%, Choose Your Own Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
The first one in particular, because I think they made it a better game with the second one,
mm-hmm.
which took it away from that Choose Your Own Adventure feel.
I was going to ask you because, yeah, they are a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So the first one is Choose Your Own Adventure, and I think it's the, like, haunted house or something that I can't remember what it is now.
I mean, haunted house.
Well, yeah.
Super mysterious. Smart chimps and talking Doberman pincers.
The,
dogs that shoot bees. The whole ridiculous over-the-top nature.
Yeah, which is something I'm just not familiar with. And I'm just like, is this being serious right now?
Reading that stuff out loud and how it takes itself seemingly very serious. You know, Choose Your Own Adventure. Yeah, high marks for sticking to the IP. I hadn't even thought of that one.
And that's
a good one. What else? Well, we've got Horrified. Horrified is definitely.
All right, I didn't think about that one.
I think definitely
that is on. Yeah, that's all the classic movie monsters: Dracula, Frankenstein. I never actually seen the original movies, but I know of them in like more modern times. Just because I say frequent, but have been to like Universal Studios a lot of times. And, like, that's their big thing is, you know, the movie monsters. And so, like, I know of them, especially in, like, pop culture. So it's interesting to play a game where it's, like, centered on them. And, but it's, like, the old kind of movie versions of them, which I'm not as familiar with. But I feel like it's just as much fun, even though I don't know, like, necessarily source material. But I know of them in, like, pop culture. And so it's this blend between, you know, the classic movie monsters and now, you know, modern board games.
Right.
And I think it does a really great job.
I do too. I think it's a better game. And I know that I usually speak pretty highly of it and I still will. I think it's a better game that maybe it deserves to be. I know. And maybe I even say that all the time, but it's almost like, you know, it's a movie that might've scared your grandparents or like, it's like, it's kind of worn around the edges. Mm-hmm. Not really breaking any new ground.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting how, you know, all the monsters have their own sort of win conditions and defeat conditions and all that stuff. So.
And we have not won once playing with 3 to 4 monsters.
Really? I didn't.
We've never won.
It's hard.
It's so hard.
It's to the point of unbalanced, I feel.
A little bit. It's tough. The monster deck kind of gets out of control.
Yeah.
So it could be hard, but then if you only play with 2 monsters, then it's kind of easy.
Yeah, that's what I mean by the imbalance. Doesn't seem, at least for us, that there's a happy medium. It's like it's either too easy or too hard.
Yeah. I actually really love the art on this. It's funny. It looks like a light, Sorry or Monopoly, you know, like one of those family games.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, because it asks you to actually do kind of a lot of strategizing. And just working against the monster deck is sort of hard. Harder than just, like, pulling a number and moving this many spaces, you know?
Action economy in that game is just so tight.
Yes. So. I think it's a great game, and if people have not tried it, they definitely should.
Yeah, it's that good target game that's going to move you from Monopoly and other family games.
Mm-hmm.
I think even from something like Catan, this would move you on from. Like, I feel like it's marginally more difficult or more sophisticated than Catan is.
Oh, you just, I feel like they're just a little bit different, though, because it's like.
Oh, I think they're 100% different. Okay. I'm just talking about, like, where they rank in the spectrum.
Oh, okay.
It's like, once you're right, rolling one die and doing the little bit of resource conversion that Catan is, that's really all there is.
Yeah, and so, then at that point, it's just, you know, negotiating with people and that kind of stuff, so. And this, you're playing against the board, which can be hard.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites, Bob Ross.
I was kind of saying that. I think that's kind of it. That's kind of that is kind of it,
without the knockoffs. Right. Bob Ross is, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And it's just, it just is.
I agree. I think, it's the least mechanically IP related, if that makes sense. Like, Legendary is all this action stuff, and it's like an action-y game where I'm punching you and I'm buying that.
You don't think that laying paints on your palette and, you know, washing the paints away, and you become really good at this particular paint because you're turning into
what they call the actions and what they are a little bit different for me. And could just be a weird distinction for me, but it's like, it's set collection and turning in cards.
Okay.
But we call it, like, mixing your paint and washing your palette. And,
I guess so.
But all of that is you know, a nod towards the IP. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just not sure. But I guess it's you know, set collecting game, kind of a easygoing, I'll take yeah. that, and usually not too conflicting. And so, I don't know, maybe I'm just crazy, but I think it's great. So I want to flip this around for just a second, and actually starting with Bob Ross, what would you think of the game if it was called, like, Wilbur Paints?
I think you should call it Pete Moss, and I'm sure I would buy it, and I would enjoy it. Just like, you know, I love, I don't know, like Cottage Garden. I would buy all of the, yes. like, they're all the same to me, but they're all, I don't know, I enjoy playing them. They look pretty.
So it's a solid game without the IP.
Yeah, I think so.
So, okay. And do you feel that about just about all the other ones we have? What about, like, Terror Below?
Yeah, if I had never been exposed to Tremors before and came across this game and was like, whoa, this is really cool. These are just these giant worms and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting the eggs and I'm fighting them. That'd be really cool. Yeah, I think it holds up as an idea aside from, like, yeah, what it is in pop culture.
But, okay, so...
Being Tremors or being Bob Ross.
I thought of a better way to add on to what you said. So, if... Oh, now I lost it. Okay. So, for example, Terror Below for me would be way better if it were Tremors.
Just because of the name?
Mostly, yeah.
So, if it was just called Tremors,
yes,
then it would be 10 times better.
Well, I'm maybe not 10 times better, but I feel like...
Twice as
better. I feel like Tremors the game would be better than Terror Below, even if it was basically exactly the same thing. Just with some different names.
That's funny.
Because you get those little Easter egg-y things. You know, like...
Are those town, not already in...
No, because they can't be, I would assume.
Oh, that's true, I guess.
It's like Perfection Valley. Like, that's where Tremors, like, happens. Yeah. If that was, like, you know, on there somewhere. Or the mountains to the west. Like, things they talk about. Or
yeah.
To me, that would add... It adds another level.
Okay. Yeah. I guess... yeah, I guess I would feel the same way about Nemesis then. Like... If they just call it Alien, yeah. Even though I love the game already, I would probably marry it then.
So if it was the
if it was Aliens Subaco. And it was just everything,
even yeah,
the characters,
so Dallas instead of Captain, yeah. And okay, yeah, I think I agree, yes, wholeheartedly, yes. So.
I get where you're coming from.
That's, yeah, what I've been trying to articulate is. But I don't think that Bob Ross is the same.
That.
Like, I don't think that having him on there matters one way or the other. Like, to me, especially if it was still the same art.
Okay.
This is the question I've been really trying to ask. I'm glad that
it would matter to me.
Groped my way there.
I think. Especially considering, like, It just has a lot of that feel of Bob Ross, and, you know, like, it has
the Bob Ross clothes. Cards.
It has that sort of stuff.
I forgot about that part.
And, you know, like, it doesn't make sense of, like, Bob's just chilling. Like, mm-hmm. And it's, like, that's what it's all about. It's just, like, this calm, chill atmosphere.
You're right. And the dice part and the cards.
Like, yeah, it would take away if it wasn't, but it adds because it is.
Right. So, maybe the most controversial thing we're going to talk about then. Dinosaur Island, Jurassic Park.
It would be 10 times better if it was Jurassic Park.
You're going to stick with that. I'm going to try to change your mind.
Only in that if Dinosaur Island in particular and not like the other, you know, the other like ones that are dinosaur games.
Yeah, Dinosaur Island in particular.
Dinosaur Island in particular.
I'm talking about, yeah.
It makes sense to me.
See, it doesn't to me because you're managing the park. You're not at the ground level. And that's where Jurassic Park takes place.
It's true, but I feel like, I don't know, a lot of that behind the scenes stuff takes place in those operations areas. And it's like,
right.
This is what's going on. And especially in the newer movies, too.
I don't know. So you would say Jurassic Park World, not Jurassic World, but the universe of Jurassic Park, not the movie Jurassic
Park. Not specifically like the original movie, but like Jurassic Park as a world would make sense in Dinosaur Island to me.
So, like, if the cards had characters instead of just generic, like the, what do you call them, the people you, the specialists?
Mm-hmm.
Or if it had art that was from the movie.
Yeah, slap some Jeff Goldblum on there. I mean, come on.
I think maybe for the cards.
And
I was,
all the
I
quotes
was,
and all the,
yeah, I was know. Going to try to sell you on no. And I think I'm still on no, but I think it's like $51.49 for me.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, I don't think it would be the same if I was just like, well, because then we all have our own park, too. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit weird. Like, to me, it,
there's no other, I mean, what other board game has you all working on the same park, though? Like, it doesn't work that way.
But, like, Tremors would. Like, because it's a central board.
But you're not managing a park.
Oh, like, yeah. No, you're right. I'm not. Yeah.
I guess they're just, like, too different to me to, like, compare, I guess. Tremors and Jurassic Park.
Well, I'm just saying in the Tremors game, it's easier to put in those, like, Easter eggy things because it's one board. And it's, mm-hmm. like, even if it's just little Perfection Valley or, like, an egg over here.
Mm-hmm.
But for everybody else, it doesn't make sense just because, like you said, the movie and, like, wherever else is it everyone working on the same board? It's not. So really the only place that would come into play is the car.
Of being thematically...
Yeah, of having that kind of stuff.
Okay.
I don't know.
I think it would be just as fun. I mean, slap the nostalgic stuff on the board games for me. put Scooby-Doo on Betrayal.
Oh, no. you didn't. Oh, my God. All right, well, if we're saying one sacrilegious thing like that, then I'll go another and say just about every fake D&D... non-IP'd D&D board game out there is better than the D&D ones.
Dang. All right. Okay.
I think I would rather be generic elf and generic dwarf than Castle Ravenloft or... I don't know.
I don't even know any... I'm gonna
hot take it.
I don't even know any of the, like...
I know. I just had to go with that one because I think it's one we played. All right. Now that...
Okay.
So I insulted the D&D... universe,
and I insulted
you. Did you insulted me? You insulted yourself. No. Side note: we did play Scooby-Doo Betrayal, and it's for kids.
It, yeah. That's. I mean, that's cute. That's the part of it. Is like it this cute. Is Betrayal for kids. This is not spooky, gritty. You know.
Right. We read. It was so funny. We had to read the like the traitor rules like 10 times, just being like, no, it can't be this easy.
And then we had to remind ourselves that we're playing it and it's for kids.
But the art is really good. The art is so Scooby-Doo. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, yeah, that was more dramatic effect earlier for sure. I do think it's a cute game.
I think it's like perfect level for like your nephews who are younger and maybe.
Yeah, they're getting a little old for that. But yeah.
Younger, when they were younger. Yeah, like, when you were starting to introduce them to these games. Yes. And it's like, we love Betrayal, but it's kind of hard.
Yes.
For, you know, a younger kid to grasp. But it's like, you know, put Scooby-Doo on it, make it for kids, just as fun.
Okay, like, so get Scooby-Doo for the kids.
Uh-huh.
Get Horrified for the family.
Yep.
And get Bob Ross... to save your sanity while you're being at home doing your part to keep COVID from spreading.
Yep.
How about that?
Yep. Check them off the list. Yep.
All right. 1, 2, 3. Checked them all. So that'll do it for this week. So next week, we're going to start our closet ranking. Ooh. 100 through 90. So get ready. Look out for that. But before then, we've got... This just in, some parks coming for you on Saturday.
Yeah.
So until then, I'm Adam.
And I'm Bianca.
And thanks for listening, everybody.